Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
What a lovely guy, Shane Clavin. Now, yesterday we read an email out. One of our listeners was preparing for an interview on Zoom and they were looking for advice. And we got loads of suggestions and we decided we'd seek professional advice. So on the line we have Sarah Geraghty, Senior Training Consultant with the Communications Clinic. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Thanks a million for taking our call. So we'll deal with yesterday's caller first and then we'll broaden it out into Zoom meetings in general and all that sort of thing. So if you are going for an interview now and it is on Zoom, how does one prepare for that?
The first thing I'd say to that listener, Ray, is that she's not on her own and that so many people that I work with several times a week, every day of the week, nearly at this stage for the past year, have the exact same question. The first thing I would say to her and people in her position are that the rules actually haven't changed. Okay. There's an idea that they have changed, but you still have to prepare in the same way. And the three very simple steps I would start with are to take a yellow highlighter to the job spec and highlight forensically the skills and experiences required by that organisation for that particular role. Then I would get going really quickly on building up a bank of stories or examples that you can use to prove that you have those skills and experiences. Right. And then, as you are probably very familiar with in your line of work, what you have to get going on really, really quickly is talking out loud and practicing out loud as much as humanly possible. Because the big mistake that people I work with all the time make is that they'll spend loads of time thinking about what they're going to say in an interview or having to read through what they're going to say. And you know yourself, that doesn't translate on the day when you're under pressure and you're nervous and you give yourself a terrible shock when you hear yourself saying something out loud for the first time.
Yeah.
They're my three main pieces of advice for anyone at the moment.
I was reading a lot of the interviews and articles you've written and it's pertaining to one of the things you said there, which is hugely important, because the interview, sometimes we overly concentrate on ourselves. And what you're saying is concentrate on the job and the job description and the company, because that's hugely important. And a lot of people miss that.
Oh, most people miss it, Ray. And it's a really, really interesting thing that myself and my colleagues have learnt or noticed over the past year, is that the rules of good communication, no matter if it's an interview or you're presenting your show or whatever it is, the rules haven't changed. It's still about the audience. It's still about meeting them where they're at. And when it comes to a job interview, it's, you know, asking yourself, what are the needs of that company? What are the needs of that role? You know, looking at a job spec, essentially, like, you know, a set of problems, and you're going in to prove that you can solve those problems. So it's taking yourself out of the picture to a certain degree and saying, what do I need to do to prove that I can solve this company's problems? And that's going in with as much evidence as possible in the shape of stories.
Okay. Now, when it comes to the Zoom thing, it is different because you're not walking into a reception area saying, I'm here for the job interview. My name is Ray D'Arcy. I'm the 4 o'clock. You've been sent an invitation on email to a Zoom meeting. So there's none of that sort of, you know, walking up the stairs in a waiting room. You're straight in there. So what preparation do you do around that?
Well, I give you a cautionary tale, first of all, on exactly what you're saying there, is don't be the poor woman who a few weeks ago was expecting a remote waiting room and signed into the meeting while she was still having a chit chat with her husband about what was the best way to present herself on screen. And there was no remote waiting room, which is unfair for her. And she found it very hard to recover from it, understandably. So I would make sure that you know what's going to happen. You know, what I'm seeing a lot of companies do at the moment, actually, is send around a list of guidelines beforehand. So I'm looking at one now, actually, about a WebEx meeting where they're told that there'll be a remote waiting room. They're told how, they're given actually visuals on the sheet of paper of how the panel will appear to them. So that's you know, you want to be prepared. I would do as many run-throughs as possible with family and friends who are willing to be your guinea pigs with you. But look, there's a few things to consider, absolutely, and they're the practicalities that I'm sure you would have read in pieces I've been writing since May all the way up until January. The practicalities are still stumping people a little bit, and by practicalities I mean getting your angle right, okay? So over the news, or you know, whatever we've been looking at our meetings in work over the past few months, we've been seeing probably a disproportionate amount of, you know, up the nose
bad
shots.
Angle. angles, bad angles. Yes, yeah.
Bad angles, absolutely. Yeah. Very simple advice there is pop your laptop up in a pile of books and make sure you're framed in a similar way as possible as you would be in the room with people. And again, take a selfie, you know, to see how you look. Lighting is really right as well. You know, you don't want to be sitting like a vampire in the darkness, but you also don't want to be appearing like a ghostly silhouette to the panel. Right. So the way to mitigate against that is make sure the lighting is in front of you and not behind you, whether that's a lamp or a window. The third most important thing there, Ray, I would say, is getting your background right. So I've seen a huge amount of red wine bottles in particular, gin bottles, work from home buddies in the background, dogs. They're all beautiful. They're cute, communion photos, etc. But we need your background to be as neutral and work appropriate as possible. So try and find the whitest, blankest wall in your house and bribe whoever might come into the room for that length of time to stay out of that room for the duration of the interview.
You see, the brilliant thing about Zoom things is that you can set up your own Zoom meeting with your friends and family, send them an invitation. And the brilliant thing about a Zoom meeting is that you can record it. So you could actually do a sort of a fake interview and watch
mock
it back
interview.
A mock interview and watch it back.
Absolutely, and that's what I do every day with people. You know, they come into me for a one-to-one session, I record them in a mock interview and then they have to watch it back with me.
Yes.
And we use that as a way to identify them. Nobody likes it, Ray, but you'd probably know yourself there's a huge value to it rather than me sitting across from you saying, do you remember when you did that? Don't do that again, or do this instead.
Yeah.
They can see themselves and people take a huge amount out of it because they're able to see, I could just, you know, bring myself up on that particular thing a little bit more. And that should improve, you know, how authentic I'm coming across to the panel and, you know, how genuine I sound as well.
And here's the other thing. And because, you know, working from home is going to be a reality, it's not going to go away when lockdown is finished. And if you are doing an interview, you will have to prove you're proficient at just, you know, appearing on a Zoom. So you can't be fumbling around at the beginning of it going, oh, hit the wrong button, muting yourself, cancelling the video. No.
Very true. And Ray, that's why I actually take great hope from the fact that on the other side now, they're getting very, you know, clear on that in terms
as
of
in,
sending out
as,
guidelines.
Oh, yes. The people who are organising interviews, etc.
Because it's new for the interview panels as well, you know. So I think both sides need to get familiar with what their role is and what their responsibility is, as we just said, to their audience, you know. So it's been very clear on that. But I can't, you know, underemphasise how many run-throughs you should do, or indeed, you know, with the practical side of software updates that we all have a tendency to ignore. But again, a cautionary tale from a woman I worked with, she ignored all the software update reminders on her computer.
Yeah.
And guess what day it was where Zoom decided to have a complete meltdown and she ended up having to ring the...
Yeah.
Absolutely. And she had to call them and ask, could she do it on Microsoft Teams as well?
And then Rod, that we spoke to, you have to make sure that there's no filters, particularly a kitten filter on your...
filter specifically. Any type of filter I would at this stage very much stay away from. Make sure your background is as neutral as possible and you make sure you're there front and centre and as clearly visible to the panel as possible and not in the form of a cat.
Just generally about Zoom meetings, because it hit us like a train, didn't it? There was no sort of long lead-in. There was no soft launch. Like it was, you know, March, and then within sort of 4 weeks we were all on Zoom meetings.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I find them a little bit intense and a little bit tiring.
Well, you may be suffering then, Ray, from what has been officially named Zoom fatigue. Absolutely. Research came out from Stanford University this weekend, I think, that confirmed it as a malaise. And basically where it comes from is the fact that we are spending all this time staring at other people, staring at ourselves, and that's adding a mental burden onto people, you know, all day, every day, whether it's for, you know, professional purposes or personal. But one of the lines in it is interesting in that we are now behaving in ways with strangers and colleagues in ways that we'd only do with people that we're very close to, for example. So long periods of gazing at each other and eye contact, which is probably quite exhausting if you're, you know, in a very close relationship with someone, let alone a stranger or somebody that you work with. So, you know, one of the pieces pieces of advice on that is have a mess around with Zoom, and there's a facility to turn off your selfie camera so that you don't actually have to see yourself, but the other people can see you, so you're not turning your camera off.
Right.
So that's one thing to mitigate against that. But, you know, for people I've spoken to for articles I've written recently, they're very clear now on, as we go into another year of this, you know, setting aside time in the day where you're not on Zoom, where there's no meetings. You know, one company I talked to, they have no meetings Friday, for example. So, you know, people don't have to set themselves up to be staring at Zoom screens for the whole day.
We're running out of time, Sarah. So a final one, and I've said this to loads of people, and it's, you know, the accidental meeting you'll have on the corridor or in the cafe or whatever. They're not happening now for a lot of people who are working from home.
No, we really miss them.
Yeah, well, a lot of good ideas happen in those chance meetings.
Absolutely. And people are calling them water cooler moments, they're calling them lift moments. But whatever they are, they're those kind of impromptu things where we, you know, have the banter, have the chat. I'm hearing loads of really good ideas about how to replicate them. It'll never be the same. But, you know, people are doing a 9 a.m. coffee for 15 minutes where they just swap recipes from Nigella's show. They're doing podcast clubs. They're setting up WhatsApps if they're a new starter on a team. They're doing that. And one of the best pieces of advice I can give anybody at the moment, Ray, is just pick up the phone and have a good old-fashioned conversation, because nothing beats it. And it takes a lot of the exhaustion out of the Zoom fatigue that I just mentioned.
Brilliant. Sarah Geraghty, Senior Training Consultant with the Communications Clinic. Thank you very, very much. I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future. Thanks, Sarah.
I hope so. Thanks, Ray. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.